Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
G'day, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. This is better than yesterday, making it better every episode since 2013. Just trying to make it a little bit better than yesterday. My name's Oscar Ginsberg. I am a podcaster. I am a TV show host. I am a husband, a dad, a stepdad. What else do I do? Oh, yeah, I wrote a best-selling book. I do these podcasts. I am currently driving from, you'll hear this by the time I get there, but I'm driving from Sydney to Melbourne for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival right now. I am driving the magnificent Nissan X-Trail, which is really bloody fantastic because the petrol engine doesn't touch the wheels. The petrol engine just makes electricity. And as a result, this is the car that we drove with a full family all the way to Bribie Island on a tank. Also, maybe a tank and a bit. Like, it's amazing. Anyway, so yeah, I'm on a highway through the middle of country Victoria. I just passed Albury Wodonga. And I'm heading onto the M31 on the way south. Now, I am here in Melbourne. Well, I'm going to Melbourne for the news show, NTNN, NNN. And you're actually hearing this on my birthday. This Friday, the 29th of March, this is my birthday. It is my 50th birthday. I'm 50 years old as of hearing this. I'm still 49 when I'm recording this, but by the time you hear it, I'll be 50. Which does blow my mind a little bit. If you haven't read the book that I wrote, there's a story about the day I was born in there, which says a lot about my mum, who's since passed away. I'm sorry she never got a chance to read it, but she remembered the day I was born fantastically, and she tells a pretty fabulous story about going into labour. She was a doctor at the time, and how she pretty much managed her own care that day. But I'll leave you to get the book to find that out. Now, why am I talking to you today? Well, one, we have a show tonight in Melbourne, so come along. If you use the code 5450, so 50 F-O-R-50, there's a link in the show notes. You use that, you get 50% off. There are a few tickets left at that price. We only have a few per show. But all this weekend, if you use that code, there's a certain number allocated for a show, because I really want you to see it. Come see the show in Melbourne. It's super fun. I'd love to meet you. I have merchandise. I'm selling merch. You have to come see the show to find out what the merch is. It's news related. That's what I'll tell you. But I wanted to talk to you today because I've been sitting here, I've been driving, I don't know, I've been thinking about the Robert Irwin episode that we had on Wednesday. If you haven't listened to it, pause this, go listen to it, come back. There's two things in there that really, well, three things about meeting him that really, really, really blew my mind. I talked a little bit about this introing the show, but he's a very, very impressive young man. He's a really impressive young man. And the story of people who had that high profile when they were really young or were the heir to a legacy or whatever when they were young, and how they managed that as they came into adulthood or through their teen years, that story is often told, but it's rarely told with the kind of beginning that you heard on Wednesday. It's like Robert Irwin and Hanson, you know, these kids who are just megastars when they were so little and they're still okay. And I did push Robert a bit on this, and he opens up on it. He opens up about it in the episode. And it was particularly fantastic because he kind of knew, as you mentioned, as you heard in the show, he kind of knew his dad. He was little when his father passed away. So he came to know his dad through other people, but the true, massive, solid parenting influence his life is his mom, Terry Irwin. And so speaking with Robert about, you know, it's pretty clear, Steve Irwin probably, he had a busy brain, all right? There's no denying, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not going to diagnose anybody, but the guy had a lot of ideas about a lot of things all the time. And here's this human being, this astonishingly powerful woman, Terry Irwin, who's able to, like a Targaryen, just kind of put a bridle on that dragon and fly it into the horizon. And she was able to help the two of them craft this incredible life and build this amazing legacy and really harness that and build it. And she was at the house. So she showed up at the house. And I'm in awe of her. And I have been, you know, obviously, I knew Steve, like I met him twice, I think. And even then it was like brief and 1,000 decibels. So there wasn't a lot of connection. But I had seen Terry in person a number of times. I've never really had a long chat with her because she's always been with the kids and she's like in protection mode. So she's at my house the other day, sitting on my front porch. She didn't even have a phone, like, in her hand. She just enjoying the tomatoes and the eggplants in Audrey's garden beds, looking at the frangipanis, watching the birds, just hanging out. When they arrived, so there was quite a few of them when they arrived because there was publicists and things. They opened the screen door, and, of course, my two cavoodles just go nuts. And they left the screen door open, and our dogs are just escapees, absolute escapees. And so Robert walks into the house and was like, oh man, finally we had someone here who could wrangle animals. And he just turned to me without missing a beat going, oh man, I'm not on the clock. It's like, okay. So out the front door I go, chasing a cavoodle down the street. I got him back inside. And we had this amazing chat. And afterwards, I think Wolf had come home from daycare by then. And afterwards, when they were leaving, I said, hey Wolf, let's go upstairs and we'll meet, this is Robert, and let's go upstairs and we'll say hi to Robert's mum. Because we've got the book. There's a series of books. If you've got kids, you know them. It's Little People, Big Something. I don't know, but it's a story about people who have achieved things when they were little kids and what they did before as a young person. So we've got one about Lewis Hamilton, one about Nikola Tesla. There's 100 and something of them. We've got the one about Steve Irwin. And there's a couple of pages in the book where he meets Terry, and it talks a lot about Terry, and it plays out the scene that Robert described when she first met him, and she's standing there on the fence and she's looking at this guy wrangle a crocodile. So Wolfie came upstairs and we went out the front, and there's Terry Irwin looking at our tomatoes and our eggplants and our frangipani. I say, hey Wolf, you know our book about Steve Irwin? He says, yeah. I said, that's Terry. They were married. This is Robert's mum. And he goes, oh. And I think of the kid's life, like people in his books are now at his house. So don't worry, I'll manage that as we get bigger, because I'm pretty sure he realizes not every kid has people who were in the storybooks he reads at night show up at his house, because it's happened with Joss Epps. It's happened a few times, right? The people who write the books or are in the books show up at the house. And so there's Terry Irwin. She's like, hey, I heard you know a lot of the names of the birds, because sometimes when I walk around the block with Wolf, it's not bird, it's magpie, kookaburra. It's, you know, minor bird, rainbow lorikeet. It's, you know, currawong. What was the other one? Magpie lark. That's the other one that was on our balcony the other day. And Wolfie was like, yeah. And he was like, him and Terry, she's amazing. She was like, boom, in four-year-old mode, just, and Robert as well. The two of them were just straight, and he was looking at them straight in the eye. They're both powerful people, Terry in a more reserved kind of way, but she's most definitely a force, but there's no question. And Wolfie was engaging them and having great chats, and you know, we were talking about the trees and the Melaleucas, and it was just magnificent the way these two people, who are very busy and they had stuff to do. There's a van waiting at the front. People think famous people take limos. They don't. Limos are very hard to get in and out of. No, they take a big black van with sliding doors on both sides and blacked out windows. So there's a van waiting and they were trying to get somewhere, and there's a publicist kind of going, we've got to go. And both Terry and Robert were just, they weren't leaving because they were having an engaged conversation with a 4.5-year-old kid about trees and birds and stuff. And it was extraordinary because it was such an example of what Robert was speaking about, living his life in accordance with his purpose, which was to inspire young people about the world around them and the environment they live in. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful interaction. And it just really reminded me of those fleetingly short opportunities you have when, if people are engaged, no matter what age they are, they could be four, they could be whatever. But if they're engaged and they're interested, you've only got a short amount of time to, hey, and here's another thing that's interesting, da-da-da. And it was just beautiful the way that these two would not disengage with Wolfie until he was like, okay, I'm going to go inside and build a magnet toll tower. Well, okay, well, we're going to go on with our day. And it was just the best. The other thing I wanted to kind of reflect on was the way that Robert talked about the words of advice his father gave him, which he spoke about in the episode. Sometimes, I think he said something along the lines of, sometimes, son, you just got to go out there and get the red dirt under your fingernails or get the red dirt in your nostrils. And he was talking about being out in the bush and, you know, in my experience, that mindful, the way that Robert talked about it, like just lying on his back, looking at the trees, being with the clouds, that I've been there, I've done that. There was one time years ago, I was about 24, I went to a Buddhist retreat. My band was supposed to go on tour, the tour canceled. I'm like, okay, I've got a week and a half off work. So I checked into this Buddhist retreat and I did a couple of days solo. It was up in the back of Udlow. It was amazing. But I arrived there and I'd heard that there was some walks you could do down to the creek and stuff. And the first day I got there, I was just oscillating. I was still in city mode, right? And I walked down to the creek with some books one of the nuns there gave me. And then I sat on this rock and there was nothing. There was no birds. There was nothing. There was nothing anywhere near me. I must have just been putting off this, you know, super, super tense vibe because there was nothing around me. But a couple of days, it was a silent retreat. So a couple of days of meditation and reading. There's a library there and one of the nuns was super cool. And she talked to me about a lot of things and kind of, I got my head kind of in the direction where I am now. It kind of started there. And I had one of these books that she gave me. And a couple of days later, I went and sat out on this rock again. Same time of day, same weather. Wasn't any hotter or colder. Sun was at the same point in the sky. But I had been meditating for a couple of days and I was very calm, more calm than I'd been, that I can remember. And it was like one of those Disney movies where there's a bluebird on your shoulder, like the birds just landed next to me. Wild birds, like not birds from the park that think you're going to give them a chip. Like this massive goanna that was a meter and something long, just walked straight past me. Not coming to check out my bag or see if there's any snacks in it like they do at the park in Darwin, the Litchfield Park, because they've learned that tourists bring food. Not at all. These guys are just walking by like, oh yeah, you belong here. And it was great to hear Robert talk about that because it reminded me that I can do that in my own backyard. I can sit there and look at some of my wife's amazing plants. She's really into gardening and we have beautiful plants in our backyard. We're growing a banana. We've got some pawpaw. We're growing some limes. So, you know, she's Fijian. She likes to grow things you can eat, which is lovely. And I can sit there and just marvel at this organism that will produce food, right? sit there in the sun and think about how it's turning carbon dioxide in our atmosphere that I'm breathing out into oxygen that I can breathe in, and it will give me fruit. I mean, what a gift. And by being in that space, it's not red dirt under my nails or red dirt in my nostrils, like Steve Irwin told Robert, but it is being present in the moment and using a small piece of nature, this banana plant, for example, to get in that present moment. Because when I'm in the present moment, I think about when I was quite unwell and in times of time when I've struggled, either with anxiety or depression, one of the two. Anxiety is always about the future. Depression is about the past. And as long as I'm in the moment, as long as I'm here, it's okay. And as long as I understand I can't change anything from the past, and no matter what happens next, I'll cope with it. And I have to remember both those things because they're both true, because I've always coped with everything, even the really horrible, horrible, horrible stuff. As long as I remember both those things are true, it's okay. There was a time when my brain wasn't able to get there and I needed medication to loosen up the cogs a bit so the gears would turn to allow my thinking to go in those spaces. And I am on medication right now, just your garden variety, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors and a little bit of ADHD medication to keep my dopamine levels normal. But what it means is I don't get trapped in these loops of agonizing about moments that aren't this moment right here. And so you don't need to meditate on a rock among the red dirt. You don't need to go and sit with a goanna up in the hinterland of the Sunshine Coast. You can be in your backyard looking at a plant in a camping chair. You can do it looking at a piece of grass. You can look at an ibis, which is truly one of the most resilient animals ever, and feel it. Because it's this moment. It's just something to get you into this moment, something to help you understand that you are one small part. You are one tiny organism in an incredibly diverse ecosystem of organisms, all living and sharing a terribly thin, thin, thin sliver of atmosphere on top of a spinning ball of rock in space. And the thing you're concerned about, this future thing or this past thing, those are actually imaginary. The only thing that is here is what's in front of you. And the only thing to do is the next right thing, which is an action in accordance with your values. And that's exactly what Robert and Terry did on my front lawn the other day. They were like, yeah, I know we've got to go. I don't know, we've got two publicists telling us to get in a van, but there's a four-year-old telling us about currawongs. So we're going to talk about currawongs for a bit. And when he's done, we'll be done. And it was just beautiful, man. It was beautiful. That's all I wanted to talk about. I know I said a bit on Wednesday, but I wanted to kind of share a bit more because it was pretty good. He's an amazing guy. He's a really striking young man. I'm excited about him. And I'm 50. Thanks for getting me here. You're a part of it. If you're listening to this, you're a part of me getting to 50 alive. So thank you very much. And Audrey has listened to the last few episodes. So honey, thank you very much for helping me get here. Also, thank you to everyone that helped me make this episode. Andy on audio post and Toe Hider on the music. Ella and Abby, my producers. Dan and Monica for keeping the lights on. Mikey on the video. And yeah, come see us tonight. It's my birthday. It's my birthday at the Greek Centre in Melbourne. 9:30 p.m. we're on stage. It's the news show, NTNN, NNN. It's shit tons of fun. We're here until the 7th of April. So use that offer code, get some decent tickets, come along. If you can't afford to come, honestly, email me, sandoshremail@gmail.com. Truly, if you can't afford to come, there's no reason why you shouldn't come see the show. I'm producing the show. I'm taking the risk. I'm taking the hit. I'll put names on the door if I want. So if you can't make the show because you can't afford it, just fucking let me know and I'll put you on the door. All right? That easy. sandoshremail@gmail.com. All right. Thanks heaps for listening. See you tonight, Melbourne, and I'll see you on Monday.
the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.